Now we read in Mark chapter 10, to which we return, and the story, the great familiar story of Bartimaeus. In Mark chapter 10, from verse 46 to verse 52. And we can maybe just start with rereading verse 47, just to give us a flavour. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now I'm in the presence and company of a very knowledgeable group of people tonight. You know very, very much more than the average person in this world on the subject of the Bible. You know probably what only the top 1% of people in this world know about the Bible and what it says. You have been learning about the Bible since you were at your youngest to be able to learn about anything. And that's probably true of pretty much all of you. You had the Bible at school. You had the Bible in church. And you perhaps also had the Bible at home, and you know what the Bible says. You know a great deal about it. The Bible is your specialist subject. You know the stories, you know your way around it, and you know what it teaches. What benefit has that knowledge been to you? Knowledge is very important. If we look at this story and we think about this big crowd that's following Jesus, because we read that as they were leaving Jericho, Jesus was with his disciples and a large crowd. This crowd knew that Jesus could heal. There were probably people in the crowd that had been healed by Jesus. Just as Bartimaeus would shortly be joining the crowd, as he does at the end of the chapter, he follows Jesus along the road with the crowd. There were probably others who were already following because they had been healed. And the whole crowd had witnessed Jesus doing some amazing things. So they had this knowledge. They had this knowledge that Jesus could heal people. And you have knowledge. You've got a lot of knowledge. But it's a very easy thing to fall into the illusion that knowledge equals spiritual maturity. I know some of you maybe watch general knowledge quizzes on the television, and a question will come up about the Bible and you think, do they not know that? Can they not name the four Gospels? Do they not know the guy that built the boat in the flood? And you're thinking, how ignorant are people? But it's a grave mistake to think that your knowledge is the same as spiritual maturity. You know that there are many beings in the realm of God's creation who know a great deal more than you, and they do not benefit from that knowledge at all. James tells us, you believe in God? The demons believe in God and shudder. Knowledge is not the same as spiritual maturity. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 13 that once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, he says in this parable, "You will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all of you evildoers.'" You taught in our streets. We know what you taught. We heard your teaching. We gained knowledge. And yet Jesus at the end says, "Away from me, you evildoers." Knowledge is not the same thing as spiritual maturity. And it's a great danger. It's probably the person who's in the most danger of this illusion is me. I spent 3 years of my life studying in a Bible college. And this is one of the great dangers of ministry. Ministers who are supposed to always have the answers and know what the Bible means can easily fall into the illusion that because they know the answers, that they're mature. But any Christian can fall into that danger. Knowledge is not the same as spiritual maturity. And like I say, you are in the top 1% of this world's population in terms of Bible knowledge. But that isn't necessarily the same thing as even being a Christian. And it's certainly not the same as being a mature Christian. So we need more than knowledge. We need action. Action. There's only one person in the crowd doing anything about that knowledge that Jesus can heal on this occasion. Well, who's that? Well, the answer, of course, is it's Bartimaeus. He's the one that is actually saying, "Well, if Jesus can heal, he can heal me." And he's the one that's crying out to Jesus. There are maybe many other people in the crowd who have things wrong with them which Jesus would readily heal were they to ask him. But only Bartimaeus is asking. Only Bartimaeus is acting on the knowledge. So the first thing that we can imprint in our lives tonight is this, that knowledge is not the same thing as maturity, and also knowledge is not the same thing as action. You can know a thing and know what to do, but not do it. Bartimaeus is doing it. Action. What's he doing? Well, Bartimaeus is believing. He's believing. There are many who know that Jesus can heal in this crowd, but they don't believe that Jesus will heal Bartimaeus. They know he can heal, but they don't believe he'll do it. Who are these people that know but don't believe? Well, they're the people we read about in verse 48. "Many rebuked Bartimaeus and told him to be quiet." What a heartless bunch. They believe that Jesus can heal, but they're not encouraging Bartimaeus to seek healing. They don't believe that Jesus is going to heal this man, Bartimaeus. Whatever their reasons for that, the fact is they don't believe. And that teaches another thing, that knowledge is not the same as believing. It's not the same as personally believing that Jesus is going to help. There are many people who say to Bartimaeus, "He's not going to help you." Many people say to themselves, "I know he can help, but he won't help me." We discourage other people sometimes, and we discourage ourselves. Are you an encourager or a discourager tonight? Are you discouraging yourself from doing anything with the good news of Jesus? Are you discouraging other people from doing anything with the good news of Jesus? Are you like these people here in the crowd who, incredibly, are saying to the blind man who very evidently needs help, and they believe that Jesus can help him, not to bother asking? Are you discouraging other people? Are you discouraging yourself for whatever reason? I'm not asking to know what the reason is. You maybe don't even know the reason. But many people sit on their hands spiritually. They have knowledge, but they never do anything with it. And they never actually put it into practice by believing it. So knowledge is not the same as believing. Here's another thing. Perseverance. So all these people know that Jesus can heal, but there's only one man in the story who insists that Jesus must heal. Who's that one man? Who insists that Jesus must heal? Well, of course, it's Bartimaeus. He really is going to persevere in asking Jesus for help. Verse 48, they rebuke him, they tell him to be quiet. What does he do? Does he say, okay, I don't want to disturb you. Don't want to upset people, don't want to rock the boat. I know it's not really kind of the done thing to make a lot of noise. Does he say that? It says he shouted all the more. I like that about Bartimaeus. You can't shut this man up because he believes. He knows and he believes and he acts on what he believes. And he's not going to let any other human being stop him from acting on what he believes. What about you? Knowledge is not the same as perseverance. You've got to take what you know and you've got to stick with what you know, no matter what your neighbour says, no matter what your husband says, no matter what your workmates say. You've got to stick with it. If you believe that Jesus can help, can heal, then don't let anyone else silence you. And don't just ask casually either. Like Bartimaeus doesn't just sort of say, Jesus, can you help me? Oh, okay. No. He doesn't just offer up a little prayer. You know, some people say to me, I've asked God for mercy and he didn't hear. I'd like to have heard the prayer. Well, it's not for me to hear it, but I wonder, did they cry like Bartimaeus? Because these are the kind of cries that Jesus does hear. You remember it says here, Jesus stopped. God stops the universe to hear a prayer like the prayer of Bartimaeus. People say, I said a prayer to God for mercy and I don't think he heard me. Well, did you persevere? Knowing that you need mercy and knowing that God can show you mercy doesn't mean that you persevere in praying for mercy. Bartimaeus doesn't pray casually. He doesn't pray ritually. He doesn't just get quickly discouraged. Bartimaeus perseveres with his request. He cries out. But knowledge is not the same as perseverance. You need to go beyond knowledge. And then there's consistency as well. Consistency is important. There are some people in this crowd here who know that Jesus can heal, but they're easily swayed by what other people think. Who are these people? They know he can heal, but they're easily swayed by what other people can think. Well, these are the people we read of in verse 49. Who, when Jesus stops and calls Bartimaeus, suddenly they change their tune from be quiet to cheer up on your feet, he's calling you. So these people are just people that just get blown around here and there. They're fickle. They tell him to be quiet when they think Jesus won't bother, or because they share the crowd's dislike of beggars and outcasts and outsiders. And then they tell him to go to Jesus in the next breath when they see that Jesus has stopped and he wants them. They're hardly consistent people, these folk in the crowd. Knowledge is not the same as consistency. Consistency is no matter what the prevailing mood is, you stick with what you know. Are you a consistent person when it comes to Jesus Christ? Do you stand with the crowd or do you stand alone? Are you prepared to stand with what you know about Jesus, no matter what way the crowd's going? No matter what prevailing mood is? Are you consistent? Knowledge is not the same as consistency. You can know a thing, but be swayed one way and another by the opinions of others. Do you know what you know from God and stick with it, no matter what others say? And then there's sacrifice. There's one person in the story who wants what he knows Jesus can give him. And he doesn't care what it costs him. What it costs him personally to get what Jesus can give him. Who's that person? Well, of course, it's Bartimaeus again. He doesn't care what the crowd thinks. So when they try to shut him up, he will just shout all the more. And he doesn't even mind losing his most precious possession. Because, says in verse 50, he threw his cloak aside and jumped his feet. His cloak was the most important thing in his life. He slept in it. It protected him from the elements, from the sun, and from the cold. For Bartimaeus, his cloak was the most important thing. Even if he had nothing else, he had his cloak. But he's prepared to leave that. Doesn't mind losing his possessions. He doesn't mind what people think. He's prepared to make those sacrifices, to go against opinion, to lose what's valuable, just so that he can have what Jesus offers. Sacrifice. Knowledge is not the same as sacrifice either. So again, do you go to Jesus even though it may cost you? Do you want Jesus in your life even though you know that it may involve sacrifice? Or do you fear the crowd and what they say? Do you fear what you might lose by following Jesus? Or, Christian, do you fear what you might lose by following Jesus more closely? Like the rich young man that we read about in the first story. What happened with the rich young man in verse 22, it says, when Jesus told him to make the sacrifice, it says that the man's face fell. And he went away sad because he had great wealth. He wasn't prepared for any sacrifice in order to gain what Jesus was offering him, even though what he gained was far greater than any sacrifice he personally would be making. Are you holding on to things of this world that are, you know there's knowledge again. Knowledge that you have is that it's not going to last. You can't hold on to it. You can't take it with you. It's fickle. It's transient. It's of very limited value. But you're holding on to it. The opinions of other people. Your worldly material goals. Instead of taking hold of Jesus. Sacrifice. Knowledge you may have, but do you have sacrifice? Here's another one. Audacity. Audacity. One man in this story asks for a great gift. He asks for a truly great gift, even although he is face to face with Jesus. He's face to face with Jesus for the first time in his life, and he is just a blind beggar. He's got nothing to offer. Nothing to offer Jesus. Nothing but his poverty. And there he is before Jesus, and he asks Jesus with audacity for a great thing, a great gift. Well, of course, that's Bartimaeus. Verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Jesus asks him what he wants, and he takes his chance. Now he's presuming on a whole lot there, isn't he? He's presuming on Jesus' generosity, his willingness to help a man who can offer him nothing. A man who probably presents a very pathetic sight before Jesus. A man in his undergarment, ragged undergarment. He probably looks very unkempt. And he's got nothing. That's why he's begging at the roadside. But he asks for a lot. And that is the position of a sinner who comes to Jesus Christ. We look to Jesus, a terrible, terrible state. And it's like that at whatever point we come to Jesus for mercy. When I come to Jesus praying to him tonight and say, Lord, forgive me the sins of today. Again, I present a pathetic sight. Sight of someone who's asking for forgiveness for the same sins yet again. Unkempt in my disobedience. And I've got nothing to offer him. And yet I dare come to Jesus face to face in my prayer and ask him for a great, great gift that is going to cost the Lord Jesus blood, sweat and tears. But that's what we must do. What else can we do? And we therefore have to show that audacity that Bartimaeus shows. So do you tonight take your unworthiness, your unfitness, your emptiness before the face of Jesus Christ and pray for his help, his mercy? I think some people, when they go to pray, they say the words, but they don't come before Jesus. I don't know where they go, but it's not before the face of Jesus. There's no audacity. There's no sense of the sheer outrageousness of you, the sinner, coming before the Holy One of Israel, the Lord of glory, and presenting yourself empty-handed to him with a sack load of guilt and sin and worthiness of condemnation, and having the cheek and the presumption to think that you can ask him for forgiveness and eternal life. But that's what we have to do, because he's given us every encouragement to do it. And we love Bartimaeus' example here, because he's a great example of what we must do. We come with nothing, and we're not going to try and pretend to Jesus that we'll pay him back, or we'll do better next time, or we're really not that bad. We're just coming as we are in our absolute and utter poverty and need, in the confidence that he is willing and able to help us. That's how we come to him, and it's always how we come to him. But maybe we know that, but we don't do it. Knowledge is not the same as audacity, but we need to be audacious. And then there is benefit. One man in this story doesn't stop until he gets the benefit of what he knows Jesus can give. And that's Bartimaeus. He knows he can get sight from Jesus, and he has to have that. And he won't stop until he gets that sight from Jesus. But knowledge is not the same as benefit. We can know that we can get benefit from Jesus, but still not go and get it. But tonight, you know that Jesus is the Savior. Have you made it your business to get the benefit of that for yourself? Bartimaeus did. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight. Wonderful. his knowledge of what Jesus could do, that the Son of David could have mercy on him, has become benefit. The benefit of sight. The benefit of salvation. And it leads to one final thing. It leads to this. It leads to commitment. Because now in the story, there's one man in this crowd who has a new vision. He's got literally a new vision, and he's also spiritually got a new vision. He's got a new vision for his life. It's Bartimaeus. It says he followed Jesus along the road. A moment ago, the first face that he had seen in many, many years, since ever he lost his sight, was the face of Jesus. What a beautiful thing to be able to begin seeing again, beholding the face of Jesus. And then it says he followed Jesus. He committed himself to Jesus and followed him along the road. Now we have, I think, good ground for believing that Bartimaeus went on to become a known follower in the early church, just from the simple fact that he's named in this story. It's like Peter tells Mark the story that Mark then writes down that becomes the gospel. Oh, and Bartimaeus, you know Bartimaeus, he lives in Jericho, or wherever he lives. He's one of the main men in the church of Jericho. He's got a great story. I better tell it to you, Peter says. Bartimaeus, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But knowledge is not the same as commitment. And it's really important that you and I know that, and that we understand that we need to match our knowledge with commitment. I find myself often superior in knowledge to other Christians, but very much inferior in commitment. I'm often shamed. I was shamed yesterday afternoon praying with brothers and sisters in Kilakin. So we prayed for the village and we prayed for the children of the holiday club, and just some of the Christians there, I might beat them in a Bible quiz, but that doesn't matter. They beat me streets ahead in prayer for their community as the tears flow down their faces and the earnestness and the consistency of their lives and commitment to Jesus spoke to me. Knowledge is not the same as commitment. So, you know Jesus can save, and you know he's worthy to be followed. So are you saved by him, and are you following him along the road? Paul in Titus chapter 1 verse 1, he says that he's a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. The truth that leads to godliness. Truth is knowledge. If you know the truth, you have knowledge. But truth is not godliness. It can lead to godliness. But having truth itself isn't godliness. You've got to do something with it. You have got to believe it. You've got to act on it. You've got to persevere with it. You've got to be consistent in that perseverance. You've got to be prepared to make sacrifices for it. You've got to be audacious before the Lord Jesus with it. You've got to seek the benefit of it and make a commitment to it. The things that you know about Jesus. Knowledge is a foundation. But the foundation isn't the house. The foundation is necessary for the house. But you've got to build on the foundation of knowledge. And the challenge from Bartimaeus tonight, the challenge from the Lord Jesus tonight to you and to me, is not to think that knowledge is all we need. It's not to think that knowledge is maturity. It's not to think that because we have knowledge that we are even Christians or that we're good Christians. The challenge is to turn our knowledge into godliness. To make our knowledge work in our lives, that we be audacious, persevering Christians, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing what he says to us on a daily basis and living out what we know. God help us.